Hello, Rebels of the Short Pollution. Normally, I start off this podcast by saying hi, but I'm going to start this one off by saying hydration. We know how important hydration is for our bodies. It's the thing that keeps us running, right? You want to be a well-oiled machine. You want to be running efficiently. You know what can help you run efficiently? Liquid IV. It is the category-winning hydration brand fueling your well-being, and their hydration multiplier is the one product that you are missing in your daily routine. It comes in a little stick that's a powder, and in just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. If you use it first thing in the morning, maybe before a workout, when you feel run down, maybe after a long night out and doing a little partying, you know what I mean? And even, what if you have like a long flight or something like that and you just bleh, right? We all feel that way, bleh. So add this to your water, and that convenient packaging can go with you anywhere you go, even if you're going to the gym or you're traveling or you're at work and maybe you didn't have a great breakfast. At least it's something that will fuel you up in the morning. And there's a whole bunch of flavors that are available, like sea berry, strawberry lemonade, Concord grape, lemon lime, pina colada, tropical punch, watermelon, strawberry, passion fruit, guava, acai berry. Did I say that right? I never know how to say that. But those are just some of the flavors. Here's some statistics for you folks. One stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water contains 5 essential vitamins: B3, B5, B6, B12, and even vitamin C. And we all know how important those B vitamins are. It's got 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. It's made with premium ingredients. It's non-GMO, and it is free from gluten, dairy, and soy. I'm going to offer you a great deal, Rebels. If you go to liquidiv.com and use offer code Sherpa, you can get 20% off of anything that you order on that site when you're shopping for some better hydration. So that's Liquid IV. Check it out at liquidiv.com. Podcast that you're listening to is being presented to you in cooperation with the SJ Network. If you're a person who'd like to appear on a podcast, contact Stephen Joyner at sj-network.com. Let's get on with the show.
Today's guest on Too Many Podcasts is Jamie Beebe. Jamie is the co-host of the Strictly Stalking podcast. She's a casting director, and she owns her own bikini company.
Once I saw a baby sheep in swimwear driving a fancy sports car. It turns out it was a lamb bikini.
Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, here's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Hey there, Rebels. Welcome to Too Many Podcasts. It is the podcast about podcasts. And you're listening to me, Jim, the podcast Sherpa, your guide through this mountain called Podcastia. We're checking all of them out. Every last one of them. Well, maybe the ones that want to talk to me anyway. So I have a couple of questions for you. Would you like to be cast in a movie? Would you like to buy a bikini? Would you like to listen to a podcast about stalking? Well, my friend, if you answered yes to any of these, or some of them, or all of these questions, you are in the right place because of my guest today.
Who's our guest today, Sherpa?
Her name is Jamie Beebe, and she is the co-host of a podcast called Strictly Stalking. She is also a Hollywood casting director, and she owns a bikini company called Boyfriend Bikinis. See, now I don't really talk too much about swimwear because every time I go to the beach and I'm in my swimwear, people are constantly calling the police. They think that somebody murdered a buffalo. I don't know why this happens, but it's just something that I've learned to live with. But Jamie and I had a really interesting conversation about her business ventures and, of course, about her podcast that she is a co-host with, and a lot of talk about stalking. And it's not something that we think about very often, but there are folks on her podcast who have been victims of stalkers. And there are a lot of really interesting stories out there. Jamie is a huge fan of true crime podcasts, and we talked about that. And, of course, about her upcoming podcast as well. Hint, hint, another true crime podcast, and it's going to be a little bit different. So I'm not going to keep you waiting any longer, so let's head on over to the bikini room in the Sherpa Chalet, and you can hear my conversation with Jamie Beebe of the Strictly Stalking podcast, and right after that, we will be jumping into Sherpa Samples. Hello there, Rebels. We are here in the bikini room of the Sherpa Chalet. My guest today is a casting director. She is also the owner of a bikini company and the co-host of a podcast called Strictly Stalking. Coming to me from California, coming to all of you from California, it's Jamie Beebe. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Now, which one started first? I mean, those are three very diverse fields.
They are. I am a casting director first. I've been doing casting for about, 15 years or so. And then I started the podcast at the beginning of COVID, because, we were all out of work. And then a couple years into the podcast, the podcast really allowed me to travel a lot as well, because you can do it remotely. So I started traveling a lot, and I've always loved bikinis, and I buy them everywhere I go. So I decided to start a bikini company that I launched on Valentine's Day 2023. And then I'm actually about to launch my second podcast.
What's the second podcast going to be about?
It's called The Last Trip, and it's about people who go missing or get murdered on vacation. So it kind of ties it all together, my love of true crime and traveling. Okay. I talk about the locations that I go to or the locations that people were at before they went missing or were murdered, and, talk a little bit about travel, a little bit about crime, mesh it together.
Mm-hmm. Now, you actually just came back from a trip from Barcelona.
I did. I was in Barcelona and Amsterdam.
Was this business related, or this was just vacation, get away from everything?
Well, I travel all the time. I try to travel at least once a month, try to go to either a country I love or a new country, or a couple countries if I can. And, because I work fully remotely on everything. So that allows me to travel wherever I want to go.
Do you have a favorite location that you love going back to, or you just...
Asia. I love Asia. Everywhere in Southeast Asia, Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, Vietnam, Cambodia. I love all those places. It's just beautiful, amazing places. I'm much more of a tropical weather type of girl. Amsterdam was definitely cold.
I can imagine that. So how did you get into doing the casting?
It was pretty random. I had moved to Los Angeles a little while before that and was kind of doing, a little bit of everything, working at any job I could, mm-hmm. doing real estate, doing whatever. And I had met a guy who was a child actor, but turned into a director, and he wanted to have his own company. And he was like, well, you can run the company for me. And I was like, okay, but I don't know anything about it. I've never been on a set. I don't know how TV works at all. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no problem. You'll learn it as we go, which I did. I researched it and read about it and looked up everything I possibly could online. And then, I learned right away that the best idea is to hire the right people for all the jobs, because I was kind of in charge. So I just was hiring people pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so once I started hiring the right people, I asked a lot of questions, learned even more. And that company went on for a few years. I loved it. It was great. And when that company disbanded, I decided that the best part was the casting, which I had actually been doing. I kind of learned how to do it on the way. We'd need, an actor here or there. We're doing mostly commercials and stuff. And I loved it. I thought it was the most fun because everybody loves the casting director, right? You're calling with good news all the time. Everything's wonderful. Sure. So I applied for a few jobs and realized that it's really, really hard to get into the casting director world. So I actually started casting reality shows, which is a little easier to get into. And I'm great at finding people. I can find people anywhere. So that I was really good at that. And then in the meantime, while I was working in reality, I would go to the universities and the schools, and I would stand outside and I'd be like, hi, I'm a casting director. Can I cast your projects? And what that did for me was not make any money, but you know, those kids graduated and continued to work and continued to hire me. And that's kind of how I got, you know, how far I got to all these years and the name that I have today and why I work with so many of the same people over and over.
You know, on the show, I get to talk to a lot of actors who've been in indie films and even a few like aspiring actors and actresses. What are some pointers that they should know to bring in to, like, when they get to meet you?
You know, I think as far as like meeting a casting director, you know, you're going to meet a casting director usually in an audition. These days, a lot of auditions are self-tapes rather than in person, which is how I'm fully remote. Mm-hmm. Just do your best. Be you, like, bring some of you into whatever character that you're playing. Don't worry so much about, you know, interpreting how you think other people want to see it, because there's a million minds on everything. So you don't know what anybody really wants. So if you just do it how you think that it should be done, it's probably great. You know, and you may or may not get it. We get, you know, 100 auditions per, more than that. Like, we get a lot of auditions. And we're only picking one person, you know. And the other thing is kind of a personal pet peeve of mine, I would think, is, you know, be sure to read all the directions. So many times people just, they don't read the directions. Usually the directions are completely there, very easy to understand. And if you just read them, you won't email me with all the questions.
Okay.
You know, like, people, sometimes I think they're excited, or, you know, they're just moving too fast. And it, you know, take a minute and read the email for the audition that you got, read the directions, understand what it is before you ask any questions, because I get hundreds of emails a day. So you can't, you know, it's very hard for me to answer the same question over and over when people are like, where do I send my self-tape?
Right.
Well, the link that's in the email, you know, like, it's not difficult. So, yeah.
Sure. And I guess also, if, you know, that person is being cast for a part, it's good if they can understand directions, because, you know, that's what they're going to be doing while they're on set.
That too. I mean, and I understand, you know, people read emails quickly and they want to get things done and stuff. But I think if you just take that extra second to really read through an email for an audition or something before you ask any questions, you know, and try and figure out the answer before asking questions, I think it goes a long way.
Okay. Now, about the podcast, now, you've been doing that for a little while too. You're a co-host.
Jake Deptula.
What prompted you to do it about stalking? You've never had any personal experience or anything like that?
I haven't. Okay. You know, I don't know. It was kind of random. I knew I wanted to do a podcast only because I listened to so many and I loved it so much. And so I would listen to a true crime podcast and then I would go and like research that murderer or whatever. And I'd end up reading about it for 3 hours every night after I listened to the podcast. I'm like, okay, if I'm doing all this research, I need to do my own podcast. Right. Mm-hmm. And I had been working with Jake on other projects, and I texted him and I was like, hey, like, call me, I have this great idea. But my great idea really wasn't going anywhere yet, because I was like, I want to do a podcast, but like, everyone's already doing all the good murders. Like, I don't know what to do it about. And he's like, well, why don't you do it about stalking? And I'm like, well, because I don't know anything about stalking. That's dumb. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm very dramatic. And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, wow, like, there's a whole crime that I don't know anything about. Like, that's weird, because I'm pretty good on all my crimes. So I started researching and I realized that, you know, it's more than just a crime I don't know anything about. You know, there's a lot of awareness that needs to be created about stalking, and you know, the laws are just not caught up. And, you know, if there was more awareness, we'd be able to save a lot more lives. And there's just so much more intertwined in it that I took a crash course in learning while I'm doing the podcast, which I think, you know, and Jake also didn't really know anything about stalking before we started. So I think it's been a really fun ride where we kind of have learned along with our listeners, like, more about stalking, like, you know, what to do if you're being stalked, or where to, you know, who to reach out to, or, you know, how to help a friend who's being stalked, things you say, things you don't say. And, you know, so I think we've learned a lot along the way.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, as far as crimes are concerned, that's when it seems like there's kind of like a buildup to a stalk too. You know, I mean, a robbery or an attack, you know, can be, you know, over and done within the course of, you know, minutes. Like if it's an assault or something like that. But with stalking, this is a person who's clearly, you know, they've got some sort of plan. They see their target. They're aware of what they do, and, you know, and their whole life. They're doing homework on their victim.
Yeah, I mean, stalking is definitely a longer, you know, time frame of a crime, which is why it's hard to prove. You know, it's hard to, like, you'd feel weird calling 911 because your ex-boyfriend sent you flowers, right? But once you add up all the things, like, he shouldn't know where you live, or, you know, there's all these reasons why he shouldn't have sent you flowers. And so, you know, it's that pattern of behavior that makes it stalking. And why it's so dangerous is because the laws haven't really caught up to that pattern of having to prove that pattern of behavior is really difficult, and it shouldn't be. But also, you know, we're trying to create that awareness for people who are being stalked so that they realize that, yes, you can call 911 if you get those flowers from your ex, that, you know, if you have this pattern of behavior, if you have this reason. But it's more about how, when you call, what you say about it. Like, I have a stalker. He just found out where I live because I received these flowers. You know, here's the details. You know, you have to keep very detailed records of everything that's happened.
Right. And I guess, you know, I was going to ask you, do people become kind of trusting with certain people who end up stalking them? But that doesn't necessarily have to be the case, right? Because like you said, if it's an ex-boyfriend, it's just someone that they knew anyway. And like you said, it's little things that start adding up. And voila, there's a stalker there.
Yeah, I mean, there's intimate partner stalking, which would be, you know, anybody that you've dated or a family member, just somebody that would know you, you know, personally. Mm-hmm. Somebody, or there's also strangers that stalk, somebody that has no idea who you actually are and you don't know who they are. You know, there's cyber stalking. There's all different types of stalking out there. You know, I actually think that intimate partner stalking is probably some of the most terrifying because they know everything about you. They know your schedule. They know what scares you. They know how to get to you in that way. And there's also a reason behind their stalking, whether it's they are looking to hurt you or, you know, win you back in some way. And if they can't, no one else can have you, or, you know, so it's a very fear-based crime.
I listened to the episode that you had with the woman who was stalked through Instagram by the other woman. that one was just, you know, you don't think that people are thinking that much when they're going online, but this is a woman who was clearly obsessed with, you know, with almost like taking over this person's life.
Yeah. I mean, you never know, you know, we don't think about it in our day to day, like, oh, maybe I can't post this on Instagram till later, or, you know, you're having fun at a party for a big brand or something, or you're doing this event and you're posting while you're there and you're like, hey, I'm here. This is amazing. Well, that's an open door for your stalker, you know, and it's kind of sad that we can't do those things and just, you know, be that open. And, you know, it's what we always say is like, just push everything 24 hours or even a couple hours, you know, no one has to know that you're there right then. Except there are people, though, of course, that work using online services. So they do need people to know that they're there. That's why people are arriving there. So it's kind of it can be a real catch 21.
Since you're giving us advice with the what else should a person be aware of if they think that they're being stalked, apart from like taking little notice of details and stuff like that? Is there anything they can do to keep themselves safe?
Yeah, I mean, always, you know, be aware of your surroundings, of course. Mm-hmm. And, you know, change up any patterns that you have. You know, if you take the same route to work every single day, leave 5 minutes early, leave 5 minutes late, go a different route, those kinds of things, you know, so that your stalker can't figure that out, which it sucks to have to change your life and stuff, but it is also a way to stay safe. You know, document everything and keep it written down, like, on top of just staying after every little thing, you have to document, because that's how you are eventually hopefully going to get justice. And then, you know, tell people. It's somehow stalking, being a victim of stalking has become a very shameful thing. And I'm not sure exactly why that is. You know, people oftentimes are victim shamed when they're so, well, what did you do to that person to make them do that, right, too? You know, which is terrible. So I think telling people, you know, it helps keep you safe. It makes people aware, like, watch out for this person. This person is stalking me. But it also creates that awareness and, like, lowers the stigma behind being stalked so that people can and are able to help you.
You think there's anything they can do with the laws to make people safer? I mean, I know restraining orders only do so much, unfortunately.
I mean, we're always working on the laws, you know, and it's not necessarily, I mean, there does need to be a lot of changes within the laws, but it's also the problem, I think, is the training that law enforcement has. You know, law enforcement is, they're just not trained to deal with stalkers. It's not something that they have a lot of training on. There's maybe, like, you know, I think they get like a few hours of domestic violence training, and it's in there, which is also very sad to me. They should have many, many hours of domestic violence training because it's such a rampant problem in our country. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they throw stalking in with domestic violence when they do their training. So I think if we were to retrain law enforcement and, you know, show them how to handle it when somebody comes and says, well, like, this person's following me and I don't want them to, or, you know, they're posting these things about me. You know, there is a law against stalking. It, you know, it is illegal. And it's more, I think the law enforcement has to kind of decipher sometimes what the victim is actually saying to be like, oh, you have a stalker, because, you know, people get very emotional when they're upset, when they've called law enforcement. And it's very hard sometimes for those law enforcement, you know, for the officers or whatever, to realize that's what's going on because they're just not trained in it.
Yeah. I think you really hit the nail on the head with what you said earlier, Jamie, you know, when you said that sometimes it doesn't get enough attention because the victims are so afraid to say something, because I think maybe sometimes people don't want to feel like, oh, this person made a fool out of, you know, in a sense, you know, that I should have been smarter to know that this person was going to, you know, make my life miserable and, you know, and chase me around wherever I am.
Totally. And a lot of people, you know, they blame themselves. Oh, well, I did go out with that guy. I must have led him on, even though I told him no over and over. You know, it's very similar to, like, our rape culture, domestic violence, all those things that are, like, shameful crimes for the victims when there's no reason to be. They're victims, survivors. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just, we need to reduce that stigma altogether.
And you said the new one is called The Last Trip. When is that going to come out?
I think in January, but maybe a little bit sooner. Okay. Really excited about it because it's a very personal one for me. Because I get to finally talk about all, you know, traveling, and I love researching the history of places and stuff like that. So I do a little bit of that in there. And then, you know, I kind of relive someone's last trip, their last vacation. You know, I talk about everywhere that they went, everything that they did, everyone they talked to. What's interesting is people on vacation and when they travel, they have very detailed itineraries. So we kind of know everything that they've done up until that final moment. You know, and I dive deep into who they are as people and, you know, what they were like when they were alive or what they were like before they went missing, you know, things like that. So it's super interesting to me, hopefully to other people.
So while you're busy doing these two podcasts, I'm sure there are other podcasts that you like to listen to as well. What are some of those titles?
You know, my very favorite is called The Vanished. I don't know if you've heard it. It's about missing people. Mm-hmm. It's been around forever. I've listened to it. I know for sure I've listened to every single episode. I wait each Sunday night. I'm like, oh, it's midnight. Like, sometimes I try to stay up late and wait till midnight so I can hear it because it drops at midnight on Sundays. And usually I end up falling asleep because I can't see. I go to bed so early, but sometimes I'll stay up and I'll start listening to it and fall asleep. And then in the morning, I just listen to it in the shower. But it's my favorite. I just love how she puts, you know, it out there. And she's done so much help for their families, the people who've gone missing and stuff. It's such a great podcast.
And now we have a portion of the show called Shameless Self-Promotion. And we, obviously, because you have so much to promote, if you want to let everybody know how they can follow what you're doing.
Shameless Self-Promotion.
Sure. So my Instagram is feathergirl77, words feathers, feathergirl77. The Instagram for the podcast is Strictly Stalking Pod. And for the new podcast, I don't have it set up yet, so I don't know. But if you follow me on my Instagram, I'm always really open about everything I'm doing. So yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, her name is Jamie Beebe. She is the host of Strictly Stalking and so much more stuff going on here. She's one busy lady, that is for sure. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
We're on that internet thingy at sharepollution.com.
Now it's time for Sherpa samples. If you've got a podcast you'd like us to sample, contact us, and we'll mention your name on the show.
Oh yes, it's time for Sherpa samples, and that's where I do my little deep dive into the podcast charts to let you know about some of the podcasts that are out there. So let's get things kicked off right away with The Adam Buxton Show. Adam is a British interviewer, and he's interviewed tons of people, and the episode that I checked out was a conversation with world-famous actor Tom Hanks. Really interesting stuff. He's got an interesting sense of humor, Adam Buxton, and it was definitely an enjoyable show. The Dream has to do, I guess, with entrepreneurs and being successful in business. The episode that I heard was companies using life coaches to, motivate all these entrepreneurs and people who work for companies. Definitely a unique kind of episode. Pretty Lonesome with Madeline Argy is a podcast hosted by a lady who I think was on TikTok or YouTube or one of those, and now she's doing her own podcast. And it's really a discussion about life in her 20s. And she talks about lots of different things. And her dog is with her when she's recording. Again, another British lady who sounds very nice. But I guess the harsh realities of being in your 20s. Kill Tony, I thought originally was going to be a true crime podcast. It's actually a comedian competition. And Tony is actually the host of the show. And they have a whole bunch of aspiring comedians doing one-minute bits in front of seasoned veterans and other guests as well. The episode that I listened to had pro wrestler Ric Flair. I know he's not known as a comedian, but he was there. And there were a whole bunch of other very funny people on there as well. It's definitely a unique concept for a podcast. Business Wars is a podcast about companies when they were up and coming and the competition that they had with other up-and-coming companies. The episode that I checked out was Hilton versus Marriott. I forgot that there was a Marriott family. The episode that I listened to also discussed their differences in how they carried on their business and how they grew to the level of success that they are at currently. Something Was Wrong was previously mentioned in the Sherpa samples a while back, and it has to do with a lot of elements in life where there are some serious problems. The episode that I listened to had to do with former cult members and how they were abused and the life that they lived on after getting out of the cult. World of Secrets. This is a fascinating one. I didn't really know anything about this. This had to do with the sexual abuse of a lot of male models. And this dealt specifically with Abercrombie and Fitch. Really a gruesome story to hear, but I guess someone came forward and told their story. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen, has to do with a FBI worker who was a double agent for both the United States and Russia, and how he sold secrets to them for cash and diamonds. This was presented by CBS News, and you know, to really appreciate it, I think I really probably would have had to listen to the entire story, but it was definitely a fascinating one, that's for sure. How to Destroy Everything is hosted by Danny Jacobs, and he talks about his father, Richard. And Richard Jacobs was apparently a real narcissist who did a lot of things in life that were legal and illegal and caused a lot of problems in life, and particularly for his family. And Danny is revisiting that. And speaking of revisiting, that's really the theme of the last podcast I want to discuss this week. It's called Heavyweight, and it's hosted by a guy named Jonathan Goldstein, who I believe is a writer. And he actually goes back to revisit events in his life. The episode that I caught was he was catching up with a childhood friend of his that they were estranged from for many years. And it turned out that the friend was dying. And the conversations and the interaction between the two of them is really fascinating. And it really tugs at your heartstrings. So, you know, be ready for that. It's still powerful stuff, and it's definitely a worthwhile podcast to be checking out. So I know I'm not exactly a heavyweight, maybe more of a lightweight when it comes to podcasts. I'm going to shadow box my way into the outro. A very special thanks to Jamie BB for coming on the show. And if you are a true crime fan, check out her podcast, Strictly Stalking. And if you are a bikini fan, go out and buy one of her bikinis, will you? You can do both at the same time, too. Maybe even buy a bikini while you are listening to her podcast. That'll work. And after you've done both of those things, why not head on over to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Sherpalution. Then you can see what's going on with the show. And if you'd like to make a little comment, please do. Say hello. I'd love to hear from you. And you can hear this show on podcast apps everywhere, or Sherpalution.com, or the Sherpalution YouTube channel. And it's called, conveniently, Sherpalution. Who knew? Okay. I guess that will do it for me, Lord Mr. Bruce, and I shall be heading on out of here. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time. We're coming close to that episode 300.
We can do it. I tell you, we can do it.
Until then, viva la Sherpalution. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Sherpalution. Viva la Sherpalution. Oh. Yell, come back now, you hear?
You know, Rebels, if you've been checking out some of my promotional ads on social media, you'll be aware that I have been using a lot of AI programs to help me create ads. But you know what? There's a lot more uses for AI than just funny little videos. And I'd like to introduce one of our new sponsors, Podium. It is a leader in creating AI tools for podcasters. Now, let's say you've got a podcast, or maybe you're even thinking of doing a podcast. You're probably wondering, well, how can AI be integrated with your workflow? I'll tell you about Podium. As a podcaster, you know that writing show notes and creating chapters and transcribing episodes takes a lot of time, and it can cost you a lot of money too. But you know what? That's where Podium comes in. It's an AI tool designed specifically for creators and podcasters with the goal of making post-production tasks quick and easy. And in just a few minutes, Podium generates show notes, chapters, summaries, clips for social media, a full transcript, suggested episode titles, social media posts, and more. Whew, that's a lot of work for one little program. Your show notes are key to your podcast success because it helps new listeners find your podcast and they'll know if it's a fit for them. You know, it's kind of like too many podcasts. It also improves your SEO. That's your search engine optimization. Ooh, big phrase there. And overall accessibility. And with Podium, you can focus on creating a great podcast and let Podium's AI do the heavy lifting. But Podium isn't just for solo creators and podcasters. It's a game changer for editors, producers, marketers, agencies, and production studios. Teams that use Podiums are able to increase workloads, decrease turnaround times, and improve their quality. How does it work? Very easy. First, go to Podium's website, and you'll see that link that's right there in the show notes. You get 3 hours free just to try it. Pretty cool, huh? And using that link also supports this show as well. And you know what else happens? Because I'm a good guy. You use my link, you will get 50% off for your first month. So visit the site, upload an MP3 file, and download your files, and that's it. And if you need anything else, you can use Podium GPT to generate articles and any marketing copy you might need in seconds. Instant show notes, transcripts, chapters for your podcast or channel. This will level up that podcast. So check out Podium today.